If you're starting a business, forming an LLC, or getting a trademark, LegalZoom provides the personal attention you need to help you take care of all the details. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Enter discount code Harvard for more savings at LegalZoom. Welcome to the HBR IdeaCast from Harvard Business Review. I'm Sarah Green. I'm talking today with HBR editor Andrew O'Connell, who has written the synthesis, which is the review, in our March issue, and it's about disaster stories and why we're obsessed with them. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here.
So why do we love disaster stories?
Well, disaster stories are great. Of course, you always want to know how they're going to end, you know, what's going to happen. But even more than that, they're really great to read because you put yourself in the place of the person who's been lost in the woods or knocked overboard or whatever it is. And you think, you know, what would I do? Would I be able to survive that? Would I have the grit or would I have the strength? But even more is the question of, would I be able to make some of those difficult choices that people in disasters often have to make? And the moral stakes, if they're really high, they can make a story incredibly gripping.
Well, and what are some of the stories that you looked at for this review?
Well, the centerpiece was Sherry Fink's wonderful story about Memorial Medical Center in New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. In the few days after the storm, it was just horrible at the hospital. Most of the staff had gone. Most of the patients had been evacuated. There was no electricity. There were very few supplies. There was no food. There was no security. There was water everywhere. And only the most disabled patients were left. And of course, what happened is some of those patients died. And the question is, how did they die? And the accusation was that the remaining staff assisted in their deaths. And some of them were people who had been designated do not resuscitate. Some of them were considered to be impossible to move. There was one patient who was too obese. They thought they couldn't airlift him out. But the doctor and two nurses who were in charge were accused of actually hastening their deaths.
Mm.
And it became a big cause in New Orleans because the city of New Orleans in many ways rallied around them. But it's a very interesting story because you ask yourself when you're reading this, well, given these horrible circumstances, what would I do? You know, am I going to stay there and try to take care of these patients with no supplies and you know, no real way to take care of them, and they're obviously suffering and there's no end in sight? What would I do?
Well, and as you point out in the section of the article where you're talking about 5 days at Memorial, there, what makes this partially such an interesting story and not just a sort of cathartic one or a sort of tragic one, but is that there is another hospital nearby that's going through the same gray areas and making very different decisions.
Yeah, they did amazing things at Charity Hospital, which is not that far away. They had very similar conditions. You know, at one point there was apparently somebody with a gun on the roof, and it was just terrible. But they were resourceful, and they were positive, and they worked together as a team. At one point they used somebody's automobile, I think, as an electrical generator. And I think that there were some deaths at Charity, but there were fewer. And there was generally a sense of esprit that we can get through this. There was no despair. And the author does a great job of contrasting the two. And so after you've read about what happened at Memorial, and you're thinking, well, like, you know, I guess it's understandable, then you read about what happened at Charity, and you think, well, maybe it's not so understandable.
Well, and that comes down to really to management in a way, and leadership in a way. And that seems to be an element that wasn't quite as present in the two other materials that you reviewed for this piece.
Yeah, well, I looked at two books by John Krakauer about people who were either up on Mount Everest or lost in the woods in Alaska. And then I also looked at a really interesting story about a bunch of workers who were stuck in a 10-mile-long tunnel underneath Boston Harbor in 1999. And there's really, in those cases, it's a survival story, but there isn't really a management issue. There's nobody in charge who has to make moral choices. And so they're great stories, but they don't have that for me anyway, they don't have that same gut impact.
Mm. The other element that you brought into this was the work of Amy Edmondson, the Harvard Business School professor, who's known for her work researching things like, you know, mistakes made in hospitals, the Challenger explosion, the Chilean mine collapse a few years ago. How did you look at her work, and did you, or is there other work that you looked at, like that academic work on disasters that you drew on for this?
Well, her work does look at the issues involved in managing disasters. And her case study about the Chilean mine disaster in 2010 is really fascinating. And it was a very difficult situation on so many levels. And one of the problems was that there was this intense scrutiny, that there were TV crews and reporters all over the place. And in an intensely hierarchical environment, the person on top had to make decisions, and everybody had to follow his decisions. And what's really interesting is that a person who was really not at the top of the hierarchy, in fact was quite low in the hierarchy, a young engineer, came up with an idea for how to possibly rescue the miners. And even with all this pressure on him, the person who was in charge was able to think about that idea and realize it was a good idea. And even though this person was low in the hierarchy, he gave this person's idea a shot, and it was very successful. And I think the management lessons there do involve a moral choice, because the leader was able to transcend his ego and make the right decision about what was best for everybody involved, even though it made him look as though he didn't really have the best idea.
Well, and in the piece you talk about as well how some of our attraction to these kinds of stories is trying to figure out, you know, if I were in that situation, would I try to save myself, or, you know, would I be willing to sacrifice myself for someone else and save them? I think one of the really big challenges for leaders in those situations as well is, you know, do you pick group A or group B if you have to? Not even do you save yourself, but do you save this person or that person? How do leaders in these kinds of situations, how do they make those kinds of trade-offs?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And one of the big problems is that in a crisis, you strip away all of your rational thinking and you're down to your basic core self. And in fact, there is a medical ethicist at Harvard named Lachlan Farrow, who is quoted in 5 Days at Memorial. And his take on it is that you either have a deep commitment to ethics or you don't. And a crisis strips away everything except your most fundamental beliefs. And so a crisis tests leaders, and it reveals whether or not they have strong core beliefs. And in the case of the Chilean mine disaster, the disaster showed that the person in charge did have a sort of a deep moral sense of that it was better to put other people's safety ahead of his own ego or ahead of his own rank.
Mm. Well, and I'm wondering, as you're talking about that, I think there is a school of thought out there that says that it can't just be left to individual people to have strong ethics, right? You need a rehearsal process, and you need a decision-making process that kind of takes over when your brain shuts down and you go into this fight or flight mode. Is that something that you saw, that sort of attention to the process? Is that something you saw in any of these books that you were reviewing?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that the implication in 5 Days at Memorial is that some sort of rehearsal of a disaster would have been very helpful, because the questions that the staff at Memorial had to face were questions that they had never faced before and had never even had to think about. And I think that in that situation, a rehearsal of that kind of a problem would have made them realize, oh, wait, those are the wrong decisions to make, and these are the right decisions to make. Obviously, there are some situations where the disaster is so rapid and so terrifying that there's nothing you can do to prepare. But probably for most things in business, some sort of rehearsal of the event or something like the event would be very helpful. A rehearsal followed by a debrief in which people talk about, well, what really was the right decision and what really was the wrong decision? That would have been great.
Well, and in some ways, this nicely brings in the other item that you looked at for this article, which was the movie Gravity, one of the year's really big films. And kind of nicely before we started recording, we were chatting about how it actually kind of ties into a case you worked on a few years ago and the preparations the real astronauts take. So tell us about that.
Well, I did a case study a few years ago about a space station, about the International Space Station, and I discovered in researching the case that there really is a lot of junk up there flying around in orbit, and it's very dangerous. So it was really great to see gravity and see that on the screen, and I think it really is a huge problem for people who are working at the space station. I loved the movie Gravity. I thought it was really wonderful, and I was just always on the edge of my seat. However, in comparison with 5 Days at Memorial or some of the other things that I've looked at, there's really no moral dilemma except the sort of existential dilemma of whether to go on or to not go on. It's the dilemma in Waiting for Godot. Mm-hmm. Do I go on or do I not go on? Which is, of course, something that is very much there in all of our souls, but it doesn't seem to have the same moral resonance as do I do this thing that's easier for me, even though it may hurt other people, or do I do this thing that's harder for me in order to benefit other people? That doesn't seem to be an issue in Gravity. And so therefore, for me, although I love the movie, it felt a little bit devoid of that, really, that sort of gut-punching excitement of some of the other disaster stories.
Well, and in a sense, the two Krakauer books would then sort of have that, I think, as well. One of them, Into the Wild, is really just about this young man's kind of journey and then ultimately death. And the other one is much more about sort of, I would say, team dynamics and team survival. Was that your impression?
Yeah, the Into Thin Air is much, very much about team dynamics and also very much about choices, because there were choices that were made by some of the guides and some of the people who were climbing that got everybody else into trouble. And I think that this is becoming a big problem on Everest. There's such a crowd up there that people are elbowing for room, and it's really imperative that everybody be on their best moral behavior, otherwise lives can be lost. With Into the Wild, it really is just a story about an interesting but sad character who wanders off into the wilderness and then has to try to survive.
But I think that gets to maybe some of the downside of our sort of human fascination with these kinds of stories, is that they do kind of want to make us, or some of us, test our limits. And if you decide to go climb Everest, even though you haven't climbed Mount Washington yet, or if you decide that you're going to try to survive in the wild with no money or food or help or clothes or, you know, whatever, and then, you know, disaster strikes, in some ways, the appeal of these stories is a little bit dangerous.
Absolutely. And some people just crave that danger. I just read today that somebody is going to try to base jump off of Everest.
Wow.
I don't know if it's this coming season or sometime soon, but yeah, people do love danger. But for the rest of us who really enjoy our comfy chairs, reading about disasters like this is really the way to go.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for giving us some recommendations today.
Sure, my pleasure.
That was HBR editor Andrew O'Connell. For more, including his article, go to hbr.org. Brought to you by LegalZoom.